The Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum's Calderwood Hall is probably not where you'd expect to see a performer such as Boston singer-songwriter Will Daly. It's a giant modernist cube designed for perfect acoustics with classical music in mind. But recently, the Gardner has been bringing pop and rock into that sonic sanctuary. And as the Artery's Amelia Mason reports, it's not the only museum getting into the pop music business.
This is not your typical dive bar or rock club. As Will Daly performed in the intimate Calderwood Hall on a recent evening, he was surrounded by fans, peering down from three levels of balconies. One of them was Matt Sullivan. The 41-year-old Jamaica Plain resident had come with his wife, Christina Toby.
And it's her 40th birthday next week, and I thought, let's do something unique. We take our kids to the museum, and we always kind of say, wouldn't it be cool to go out one night and go see some music there? And so we just kind of made it happen.
Staring down from one of the balconies, they could see everything, even right into the band's grand piano.
It was cool. It was unique, and you could kind of see everybody's reaction and Will getting into it and performing. So it was very cool.
It was a completely different vibe. It didn't have that kind of loud rock feel, but he still could transmit that in a different way.
And it was very lively.
Yeah, and the acoustics are beautiful in there. Yeah. So that was also really cool.
The show was part of a Gardner concert series called Rise, curated by Boston musicians Simone Scazzocchio and Shay Rose. Rose says the Gardner's Calderwood Hall is also a unique opportunity for the performers.
There's a chance to engage and connect with fans and audience members in a way that is very different from a traditional venue.
The concerts appeal to the museum by attracting a new audience. Rose remembers an October show headlined by the Malaysian pop singer Yuna.
So there is Asian and Muslim and Black and white, and there were people from the museum that were patrons who've been going to all the museum shows. And then there were new faces who were young and students. And it was just magnificent.
It's the first time we're really tackling a problem that the Gardner Museum has worked on for years and years and years. And that is to try to get rid of the elite image.
Gardner Museum music curator Scott Nickrenz believes Rise is a game changer, and the series has been renewed for next season. Nickrenz says the potential was apparent at the very first concert in September.
Not one person in that audience was part of my regular audience. I didn't recognize a face, and they were 4 years old, 8 years old, 20 years old, 33 years old. We finally opened the door, and people have walked in.
The Gardner isn't the first museum to integrate popular music into its programming. The Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art in North Adams, Mass MoCA, has been hosting rock music since its inception in 1999. Director Joseph Thompson sees it as a natural extension of Mass MoCA's mission to showcase new and groundbreaking art. He points to genre-crossing artists like Patti Smith and David Byrne.
A lot of the most creative and interesting artists working today refuse to accept the kind of old line boundaries that museums, which are fundamentally 19th century constructs, impose upon this.
Thompson says the concerts, along with the museum's popular festivals Fresh Grass and Solid Sound, help boost the museum's profile in a way that traditional exhibitions don't. Frequent concerts mean there's always something new to talk about and new to promote.
That just keeps Mass MoCA fresh, I think, in people's minds in ways that is much harder to do at the more stately pace of visual arts programming.
The Museum of Fine Arts in Boston is also attracting new crowds with live music programming, including folk, world, and rock music. Jasmine Hagens, a curator at the MFA, says that while a lot of the artists are more likely to be found playing in a club or a bar, something special happens when they perform at the museum.
By having something in an institution like the Museum of Fine Arts Boston, which has such a history and respect we're elevating those art forms. And when a band that is considered pop music or avant-garde or progressive or indie rock comes in here, we're situating that within all of this history and tradition and culture and all of these other artists who have tackled these same topics. It's pretty cool.
So do museums elevate pop, or does pop music bring elite institutions down to earth? Perhaps a bit of both. But the museums all agree on one thing. By opening up to music of all kinds, these venerable institutions crack open their doors just a little wider, too. For 90.9 WBUR in the Artery, I'm Amelia Mason.